Lost 15 minutes of that message. Oh, I'm sure you'll forgive me. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Now look at this phrase here. O ye of little faith. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's Son. And this is the one of two times that he says this. O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are a people of circumstance. There's no way of getting around it. All of you have a circumstance in your life. Just think of that word, circumstance. I mean, we don't even have to go to a dictionary. Stance, stand. You're standing. Circum, circumnavigate, circumvent, circle. Whatever you want to say. It is the things that are all around you every day of your life. Your circumstances. And based on this, the Lord Jesus himself is saying, he's not saying sit around and do nothing because I'll do it all for you. That's not what this passage says at all. It says you don't have to worry about these things. You don't have to look at these things. You don't have to focus on these things because faith, walking by faith, is what the Lord Jesus wants to see. It's the faith that pleases God. Not walking by sight. If we're walking by what we see around us, by what my neighbor has or doesn't have, or what my friend has for a job and what I don't have for a job and how much money I have or don't have, and all of these things, we've lost the whole picture. We've taken our eyes off of Christ and quickly looked down because your feet are already 2 feet underwater. And that's what happened to Peter when he took his eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about right here. You take the circumstance you're in and you get your eyes off of yourself and what's ever going on around you. And like Darlene Rose, don't worry about that building that's burning down around you, but look up. And you know, when she looked down on the ground, she saw that book burning. She saw the words, the letters that were written in gold ink. She said the sun came through the window and shone on that gold ink, and it was the brightest thing she said she'd ever seen in her life. And Isaiah chapter 48 hit her right then and there. You're going through the fire. You're being refined. And I'm turning you into the gold. Because you don't need that book. You don't need the water. You don't need the food. She was thrown into prison. She hadn't eaten. She had malaria. She had dysentery. She had everything that should have killed her. And she looked out the window one day in the courtyard, and she saw one of the inmates over near the fence. And she saw a hand come over the top of the fence with a whole bunch of bananas. And she fell down on the floor and started crying. She said, Lord, if I could just have one of those bananas. But there's no way I'm going to get one of those in here. Well, you know what the Lord did? The Lord brought her bananas. Somebody from some other camp showed up. He was an official. He came in to see her. He saw her in her cell and took compassion. He told the guards to go and get as many bananas as they could. He knew nothing about what she had seen out the window. And she had so many bananas in her room, she said she couldn't eat them all. And the first thing she did was push them all to the one side of the building. She got on her knees. And she said, Lord, I'm so sinful for not believing you could have done that. And that's you and I every day. We don't believe. We don't believe because we're surrounded by circumstance. And we look at it and we get discouraged by it and we get focused on it. And we start looking at everything in and around us. And it takes our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take no thought for your life. The fowls, they sow not, nor reap, nor gather. Your heavenly Father feeds them. If he takes care of them, why is he not going to take care of you? You may be sick. You may not have a job. You may not have a car. You may not have a house. You may be living under a bridge in a shelter, whatever. But is he not with you through it all? Is he not with me? He is. He has promised that. Take no thought for raiment. Look at the lilies. It takes the very simplest things that we have in our world around us. If we get discouraged, first thing I would encourage you to do is go to a very quiet place where there's no people, no cars, no nothing. Nothing that man has made. I don't care if it's a small garden in your backyard. Just sit and you look at that one little lily, that one little flower, that one little ant. Consider it, consider it, consider it, God says. Consider these things. I've made them. I've designed them. And if I've designed them and I've taken care of them, why would I not do the same for each one of you? O ye of little faith, he says. Let's turn over just to the next chapter, next two chapters into chapter 8. Verse 23, Matthew 8, 23. And this is just in line, it's just very shortly after what's been going on here from what we read in chapter 6. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? You know what our problem is sometimes? We don't believe he really is God. What a shame. What a shame on you and I when we don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And take him at his word, because the disciples didn't know who they were with. If they had known this was the Son of God, they wouldn't have never woken him up. They had to wake him up. They had to rouse him out of sleep. Something's got to happen. You see, the circumstance around them was crashing in, and they had no idea who was in the boat with them, the very Son of God. Do we know he's in us? Do we take that and walk with that every day? I brother and sister, do not. We all know that we don't, but why do we not? Because it's what we're looking at, what we're distracted by. What's going on around us? Let's learn, brothers and sisters. Let it not be through a prison camp or through persecution or through losing something valuable, but let it be through exercise. We exercise our bodies, we exercise our minds, but are we exercising the Spirit of God that dwells within us? Are we exercising the faith that we once had to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus said, you cannot come into the kingdom of heaven unless you become like one of these children. It's a simple faith. It's a simple faith that saves, and it's a simple faith that preserves, and it's a simple faith that helps us to endure. When we get away from the simplicity of the gospel, we're going to ruin it. We're going to ruin it because we try to think through it all. Well, let me see now. Let me see if I can work this out in my own strength. The arm of flesh will fail, we sung. The arm, your arm, my arm of flesh will fail. So who is in the boat? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, ye of little faith, he says. Now, turn to Luke chapter 7, my favorite story in the Gospels. I've mentioned this so many times before. It is my favorite story in the Gospels because we're going to hear the very opposite words out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see great faith, not little faith, Big faith, great faith. Is that the faith that you and I want? Or do we want to walk around just settling for mediocre? Or being on the bench and watching the game from the sidelines? Oh, well, you know, if you're up front, you know, you're going to get hurt. Yeah. That's what the Lord Jesus said if you were going to become a Christian. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He said, if you're going to come after me, you're going to take up a cross and you're going to look like I look. You're going to be despised and rejected and hated and all these other things. But don't you worry about all those things, because I'll take care of that. I'll be with you every step of the way. And David learned to understand something too while he was running for his life. He was already anointed king over Israel, but he was running for his life because he was obedient to God first in not destroying Saul, the king. And David learned that the Lord would never leave him nor forsake him. He penned those words in the Psalms. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, these are the elders now, when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he, the Roman centurion, was worthy for whom he should do this. Notice the wording here. For he loveth our nation and hath builded us a synagogue. This is what the Jewish elders are saying. Then Jesus went with them. Now let me pause here for a second. If the Lord Jesus wasn't Jesus, he would have never gone with them. Because he knew that these words were not the words that were coming out of the heart of the Roman soldier here. We're going to see why. Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. Wow. Now look at this. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Amen. What an amazing thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, we've just seen three instances where the Lord's very mouth is speaking of faith. He says, you have little faith. You have little faith. I have not seen so great a faith. This is a Gentile. This is a Gentile dog. What is he talking to this man about faith for? How come this man has so great a faith? What about the elders that came to the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, he's worthy. This Roman soldier is worthy for you to come and heal his servant. Lord Jesus knew what was in the heart of that Roman soldier. That Roman soldier had learned through his years of being set under authority what it meant. He understood. He says it. I say to one, go, and he goeth. Say to this one, come, and he cometh. To this, do, and he doeth. He recognizes the authority of the Son of God. What an amazing thing. A Roman, a Gentile, an outcast, and he sees the authority of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. He recognizes the elders. Now the friend, what's interesting is the friends come. The Jewish elders, they misrepresent. He is worthy. It's interesting in verse 3, prior to that, he heard of Jesus. Romans 10, 17. Faith, it cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then what did he do? He believed. See, he wasn't looking at the circumstance so much, but he was looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was looking out something beyond what he could do, what the doctors could do, what the other idols and gods could do. He took his eyes off of the situation and he looked on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, that is the Son of God. And so you have the centurion's friends, and they come and they represent him correctly, don't they? They said, they bring the message to the Lord Jesus saying, I am not worthy. And then he talks about being set under authority. And the Lord Jesus comes in verse 9 and marvels and turns to the crowd and says, I have not seen so great a faith. Note on it in Israel. So there's the very framework, the very groundwork for what it means to be exercised in the faith, to exercise the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus and God in our lives as we look at these scriptures. Just some verses that we're not going to turn to regarding faith in Romans 5. Our faith is counted for righteousness. 4:5. 5:1, we're justified by faith. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God, we mentioned. 1 Corinthians 2:5, your faith shouldn't stand in the wisdom of men. Something very important, referring to our circumstance. Don't look to a man to solve your problems. Don't look to a man to have answers. Sometimes we're always looking for that. Somebody tell me what to do. This person should have the answers. This person has all the knowledge in the scriptures. I should get the answer from them. Don't you believe? Don't you have faith that God himself can't reveal to you anything you need to know? It's amazing. I was thinking about this last night. You know, we always talk about, you know, what studies have shown about the brain and how there's all this unused space and all that. Did you ever think that maybe that space, not just in heaven, but down here, maybe there's things reserved from God that God wants us to know, to be what? Filled with the knowledge of God, with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get into the spiritual things in life, not the carnal things. Your faith shouldn't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, 1 Corinthians 2:5. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Ephesians 2:8, by grace you're saved through faith. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now endurance, the last 10 minutes, we want to focus on endurance. Hebrews 12, verse 1, please. Hebrews 12:1. We mentioned this verse earlier. We want to read it. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We've got a battle. We've got a race to run. Are you in it or not? Have you taken your eyes off your circumstances and the troubles and all the things that Satan would love to see cripple us and take us out of the game and out of the battle and away from anything that's going to mean anything for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want your life to mean something for the Lord Jesus Christ in the short vapor of a life that you have down here? I would think every one of you would say yes. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Well, we have to understand that we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He endured it. So if he's going to endure it, and he tells us that he'll be with us through it, well, then how do we do it? How do we do it? Well, the first thing we need to understand is when the hardship comes, what's our response? What's your response? Do the eyes, the physical eyes, go inward and say, what's wrong with me? I'm worthless. I'm good for nothing. See what's happening? You're looking at you. Or, oh, woe is me. Nothing good ever happens to me. Read Job. Go ahead and read Job. Take a week, take 2 weeks, take a month. Read Job. Did deserve none of it. But what was his response through it? How did he endure through all those trials and hardships? For the sake and glory of God. What are we to endure when the Lord Jesus said it is finished on the cross? If it's all done, if the battle's been won, why is there a battle for us? Why can't it be easy? Be easier that we all want that, don't we? Easy life. Work hard so you can retire, put your feet up. Always want to have a, you know, let's relax. How many of you really, when you have done that, have felt good about that? It's hard because it's almost like we're not here for that. You're not. God said you're not. He said you're not here to relax. You're not here to have fun and go on all these wonderful trips and vacations all over the place and please yourself and serve yourself. It's not about that. It's about a battle and a warfare. It's about a race, Paul would say. Some of you race. Some of you have been in the Boston Marathon. You know what it's like to go and go and go and endure to get to the finish line. Well, your life is like that. It's about one long race, and that finish line is glory. And do you want the prize? And the prize isn't about you, by the way. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 16, we're not going to turn to any of these. Matthew 16, Mark 8, and Luke 9 all talk about the Lord's calling to take up the cross. When he speaks to his disciples, he's going to tell them things that are very difficult to hear. Oftentimes they say, Lord, this is a hard saying. How do we understand it? Because we don't want to be told that we're going to have to suffer. Do you want to be told that? Do you want to be told tomorrow you're going to be stricken with some disease? Or tomorrow you're going to get in a car accident and you're going to be a quadriplegic? Do you want to hear that? You want to be told that? No, you don't. But how, when those things come, whatever that trial and struggle is that comes into your life, what's your reaction going to be? Are you going to purpose in your heart now, like Daniel did as a young man, and say, I won't do that? I'm not going to defile myself that way. This is going to be my stance no matter what. You take my finger, you take my arm, take my legs, take whatever you want, but I'm going to glorify God in it. That's going to be my response. Are you going to fail? We're all going to fail. But you purpose in your heart now, you exercise this now, your faith in this now, that it is for the glory and honor of God, and that the Lord Jesus Christ will be honored and glorified through it all. 2 Timothy 2:3 says to endure hardness as a good soldier, just like we sung before. Paul often talks about this regarding Timothy. All through 2 Timothy and even 1 Timothy, we read in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I've fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. In 1 Timothy 6:12, he talks again about fighting the good fight of faith. And in Romans 8:37, he says, we're more than conquerors. Remember whose side you're on. Remember who the commander is, the commander-in-chief and the general, and the captain of our salvation is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What do you endure? What's the stress? What are all the circumstances in your life? Bring them into perspective by offering them up to the Lord Jesus Christ today and say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my Lord is going to care for each and every one of these things. If he takes care of the lilies, he takes care of the fowls, and the fishes and all of these things, my things are not too hard for him. Sometimes that's what we think they are. You feel the pressure coming in and around you. You feel the walls caving in, and there's nowhere to go. Great. That's right where the Lord wants you, so you can surrender all of it to him and say, all right, Lord, I'm going to be a good soldier now. I'm going to fall into rank. I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to be obedient because you were obedient unto death. Could you be obedient unto death? If you knew tomorrow your life was going to be taken from you, could you? I could not stand here right now and say yes to that. I could not, but he did. The Lord Jesus Christ did. Enduring in battle, again, we mentioned Job. Joshua, we've been in Joshua, Tuesday night prayer and Bible study. God's charge to Joshua to be strong and of good courage. Be very courageous, in fact. Go in and conquer all the land. We don't have time to get into it all, but we know there's much to be gleaned in there regarding the Christian life and overcoming and what it means to go on and endure and battle after battle after battle. There's a whole chapter where they went up and battled this city, and then they went from there and battled that city, and they kept going and they kept conquering. Why? Because they had dealt with the sin of Ai and Achan's sin in hiding the treasure, thing that they were not supposed to take. And the Lord blesses them in battle. Fear not. Be strong and of good courage. Pursue the enemy. Battle the enemy. Overtake the enemy. Conquer the enemy. This is what the Lord wants to see in our lives. victorious lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we to do all these things? Just in closing, the last 3 minutes. Keys of endurance. We need to understand the enemy. Because we have the flesh, we have the heart, we have the mind, and we have the spirit. We always talk about the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that is true. Understand and know your enemy. The world is not your friend. Satan certainly isn't your friend. But guess what? Your worst enemy is you. When you look in the mirror, you're looking at it. You're looking at your very worst enemy. And within that enemy, we have to understand that Romans 13, 12 through 14 tells us. Let's look at that very quickly. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. And our enemy here comes in a very small package, or what we look at in the mirror every day. Romans 13, 12 through 14. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. One of the biggest problems we have is this body that is in decay. It's in decline. And yes, you and I may be born again Christians, but you still have this flesh, and all over the place, from Galatians to Ephesians, Galatians 5 specifically speaks of the works of the flesh, and it says to put them off. You put them off. You habitually put those things off. Ephesians chapter 2, 3, we were children of wrath, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You shouldn't be like that anymore. You need to be different in the Lord Jesus Christ. The heart, we know this, even from this past weekend's ministry. Jeremiah 17, it is deceitful and desperately wicked. Don't ever say, I'm going to go with my heart on this one. Don't ever make it a point today to say, I will not say that anymore. Go with your gut, go with your heart, go with what feels right. That's wrong, because your heart is deceitful, it's wicked. It can trick you, it can deceive you into thinking something good is good when it's not. This is what is what we are going to use to discern God's will in our lives and what to do next. And if you don't have an answer from God and you think it's a vital decision to make, don't be like Saul and offer the sacrifice without waiting for Samuel. You wait to hear from the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The heart. Matthew 15 says, out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. The mind. Isaiah 26 and 3 talks about the mind, especially in Romans 8, 7. The carnal mind is enmity. What's carnality? Well, it's the very opposite of spirituality. It's the very opposite of spirituality. That carnal mind of yours is enmity against God. Don't ever think that that thing is the greatest thing in the world. It's very powerful, no doubt. But don't be deceived by your heart in thinking this thing's going to solve all your problems, because it's not. 2 Corinthians 10. Bring into captivity every thought. Captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, the last one is the spirit. This is not the enemy. This is what we have. Romans 8 says, walk after the spirit. Galatians 5, just like it talked about the works of the flesh, talks about the fruits of the spirit. Should all be showing these fruits. We should all be having these fruits coming out of our lives, all these good things. Because the Spirit of God in us. Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we take on the armor of God. Every day when we get up, we should understand that we're in warfare, we're in a battle. We have our general, our commander-in-chief, the captain of our salvation. He's told us, he's given us, he's equipped us. Put on the helmet of salvation. You're born again. We belong to him. We take the breastplate of righteousness. It's not ours, it's his. He gave it to us. We take the sword of the Spirit, which is the very word of God, having the shield of faith. Nobody goes into a battle with just a sword. You know, the Romans, the Titans, all those famous sword warriors of the day always had a shield to deflect the fiery darts of Satan. Having your loins girt about with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, praying always with all prayers and supplications. We've gone over time. We want to finish now by closing in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day, this first day of the week, because we were able to come and remember thy Son. And we thank thee, Father, that he remembered us, that it was for us he died. Father, we thank thee for buying us back, for purchasing us back from our lost estate. We pray, Father, that these words would, that thy word, thy holy scriptures, Father, would do just as they, that thou saidest they would do, because we know it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even to the asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. And so, Father, we ask that thou would work in all of our hearts. Help us to be good soldiers, Father. Help us to endure. Help us to exercise faith every day, Father, for thy sake, for thine honor and glory. Part us with thy blessing now. In thy Son's name we pray. Amen.